Welcome to another episode of the Taylor Swift Podcast, where we talk about everything Taylor Swift related. Just kidding. April Fools, everybody. Welcome to the Half Full Reviews Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Pokemon, every Pokemon game, every main series Pokemon game ever made, and our personal experiences with them. But before we get into that, let me introduce myself and my co-host, Will, from Big Dub Gaming. How's it going today, Will?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So I had to pause my Taylor Swift Selena Gomez mix to be here. So,
bummer. Oh, bummer. Well, thanks for doing that. Thanks for doing that. So I had beaver fever, so I was. It's fine.
Oh my gosh! Yep. Oh man. All right. So let's talk about, before we get into the Pokemon topic. I know you and I have both been playing a little bit of Ark Survival Ascended. I did want to just briefly touch on that, but what else have you been playing lately?
I've actually been playing a lot of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. That's one of the ones I've been kind of enjoying. I recently got it, so I have a lot of friends who actually been playing it. So that one, and then I also obviously play Rocket League as, per the last podcast, is one of the main games that I play. And played Helldivers a couple times recently. I haven't really been playing more because I've been kind of stuck on COD right now. But yeah, so those are the few of the games that I've actually been playing.
I keep hearing things about Helldivers 2, and I kind of wish that I would have gotten on the bandwagon when it first came out, because now they're doing I hear they do weekly events where something happens where you have to release bug poison, and the following week you find out they all mutated because of something you did the previous week. You know. Have you been having?
Yeah, they are. They actually came up with a new bug that's pretty difficult. They're flying bugs now, so it's pretty cool. I haven't really followed the storyline at all, but I have some friends who actually do, and they said it's pretty intense.
Yeah, I heard they're just having a good time. They don't take themselves too seriously, but there's a little bit of story there if you want it. But yeah, it sounds like a good game. So.
Yeah, it definitely is, for sure.
Another good game. I've been playing some League of Legends like I normally do, blah, blah, blah. But I just beat Knights of the Old Republic again for the umpteenth time. My kids like to watch me play the old Star Wars games, so I went back and beat Knights of the Old Republic and played on the TV for them. Good old Star Wars game. And then I've been playing Ark Ascended with you. We did a couple caves. We're working on the first boss. And for anyone who doesn't know, Ark Survival Ascended is the remake that just came out this year. For Ark Survival Evolved, which was around since 2015, and it's a dinosaur survival game, kind of like Rust or 7 Days or whatever they call it. There's a couple other survival games. You punch trees and craft stuff, kind of like Pal World, that kind of thing. What have been your thoughts so far in Ark Ascended?
Graphics are absolutely amazing. I am really truly enjoying just looking at the scenery and stuff like that. It's a really intense game. When we did the boss fight, that was pretty intense to be a part of. But I'm really liking it. It's definitely taking a little getting used to, because there are a lot more buttons than I'm used to with playing keyboard and mouse. But I'm only going to get better. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. But it's actually a lot of fun to be able to see the different dinosaurs and kind of take you back into time and see what could have been if we were living in that time.
It's a fun game. The story gets pretty wild too, and we'll do a whole episode on it where we talk about in detail the differences between the new one and the old one. We'll talk about the storyline. I'd love to do a whole episode on that, spend 45 minutes. But the short version is I am enjoying playing it. You're enjoying playing it. It's a good game, so I think it's well worth the $40. It's $45 or whatever it is. I originally bought Ark Survival Evolved for $15 in pre-alpha. And then I bought it again for Xbox, and I bought it again for Nintendo Switch, and then I bought it for a friend for PC, and then I bought some other kind of deluxe version with all the packs for PC. So I've literally bought this game 7 or 8 times now in the past 10 years.
Oh. Yes. It is definitely worth every penny of it.
It's a fun one. So. All right. But I'm ready for to talk some Pokemon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pokemon is definitely a classic, and you can't go wrong with Pokemon.
No, I know we both love Pokemon. It's something we probably grew up around that time period where it kind of went rampant all over the nation and all over the world, really. Pokemon, big phenomena.
Oh, so yes.
It's a good topic. Let's start at the, I don't know, you pick. You want to start from the newest or the oldest games?
Let's start with the oldest, because it brings you back to the good old days of playing Pokemon on a regular Game Boy. Mm-hmm. You know, where there's no color involved. But I have a question for you though, DJ.
Okay.
What is your all-time favorite Pokemon, regardless of what gen it is?
Gyarados, and I have a whole story for it. But what's yours? Gyarados.
I have to go with the original Charizard, man.
He's good.
Charizard is just, there's nothing like it.
If you like Charizard, how do you feel about Lucario?
I do like Lucario. Lucario is definitely a solid Pokemon for sure.
He's a big fan favorite, kind of like Charizard. So I was wondering if like it kind of carried over to like, I love Lucario. I'm a decent Charizard fan, but I also think Lucario is a solid Pokemon. Like, they made it. What a good Pokemon you could like, you know. And Charizard's cool too.
Oh yes. Oh yes, of course.
Gyarados, my story behind Gyarados, the short version is, as a kid, I played through the whole game trying to find him and didn't realize that they gave you Magikarp. I didn't realize Magikarp evolved into him. So I didn't know until I was like an adult years later coming back. I was like, that's how you did it when the internet came around, you know?
Right.
I can't believe nobody ever told me. So I played the whole game trying to look for this magical, you know, snake dragon thing, and could never play it, and I could never find it. So he kind of became my favorite. So
yes. Now I do want to mention that the red Gyarados, I want to say it was in Silver, Gold, uh-huh, and Crystal, was actually one of my, obviously playing it was one of my favorites, because you didn't see shiny Pokemon back in the day. Mm-hmm. And so seeing a different colored Pokemon made it really special, and hence like the old classic games, like obviously the graphics and everything like that were awful compared to nowadays. But back in the day, like that was, it was just so amazing to see like an open world game, especially on a handheld device like that.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love those games, and I think it's Gold and Silver, right? So Heart Gold and Soul Silver also gives you another chance to catch that same Gyarados on Nintendo DS. And if you have a DS and you play it through it, you can actually transfer that up to the current gen in Scarlet and Violet. So I actually have an original red Gyarados from that game in my Pokemon.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
So we'll talk about that for a quick second as we do these here. Maybe, as we kind of get to it, I guess, right? So I know Red and Blue we'll talk about, and then we're going to hit Yellow briefly, but Gold and Silver, Crystal. And then they did I think it was, you couldn't transfer them from Gold and Silver to Ruby and Sapphire, right? Yeah, there was a drop-off between the Game Boy Color and the Game Boy Advance, where you actually couldn't, you can still, right, to this day, cannot transfer them from Crystal, Gold, and Silver into the Game Boy Advance on Sapphire and Ruby. But after that, you can move them, I believe, the whole way up to the current gen. And you have to do it from a Game Boy wire. You have to take the Game Boy Advance game and the Nintendo DS game and put it in a DS, an original DS, that can fit two games at once, one on top, one on bottom. Then you use that to transfer between the Game Boy cartridge and the DS cartridge. And then from DS, you can download the app, which is the transfer app, into Bank. And then from Bank, you can transfer into Home. And from Home, it's on your Switch and your phone. So you can, I've done it already. I downloaded it all. But nowadays, you can't even download the original app to do it. So if you don't have it, I don't think it's doable anymore. But I have all the I have all the software on my DSs here. So it was cool. All right, so let's get into it, though, without further ado. Let's start with Pokemon Red and Blue. It came out on February 27th, 1996. I believe that's a U.S. release date. I feel bad for not knowing it, but I know it released in Japan originally, and there was a green version in Japan that was the same game. But we'll talk about, I think these are U.S. release dates, so let's just go with 1996. I don't think I even started. Oh, actually, I think that is the Japanese release date, 96. I think it came out in the U.S. like 97 or 98, I think. Because that's when I started playing it in 98. Do you remember?
I don't remember what year it was. I just remember I was a young little jit.
So did you had a Game Boy? Which version did you have?
I did have the original Game Boy, the gray one with the purple buttons. And so obviously, you know, you had to turn on the, I want to say at the top right. And so that's why those old Game Boy games have a little slit in the top right. People didn't know.
I didn't know
that's how you can tell. That's actually how you can tell that game was made for the original Game Boy, is because when you turn on the power button, there's a little power button that locks in the game. And so that's why those games have a little slit in the top right-hand corner. So allows that slit to go there and hold the game in so it doesn't fall out.
That is so cool. I did not know that. And I own all the original Game Boys all the way up except for the original one you're talking about. Because I started at Game Boy Pocket and then Game Boy Color. And so that's the ones I've bought so far and then everything forward. I'm going to get an original one eventually. I never had one as a kid, so I didn't feel the need to buy it yet. But I
collected. Yeah, so it's actually a really cool little thing. Not a lot of people knew that, especially when the Game Boy Color came out. Obviously, those original Game Boys were obsolete because who wants to play a black and white game when you could have color?
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly.
But those games were still made as original Game Boys, so that's why they always had that little slit. And people, I remember people always saying, like, why are they making them little slits and stuff like that? It's for the original Game Boy. But when, Game Boy came, the original Game Boy was obsolete, they started coming out with the new games where they has like a little bump on the, right on the front of it. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the same. It was supposed to be kind of the same concept, from my understanding.
Huh.
But that was a long time ago. But that's how you can tell if it was made for an original Game Boy or a Game Boy Color.
Oh, cool. That's neat. I like that little tidbit. I do. So another tidbit. I've actually been collecting all the Pokemon games, and I guess I'll go bit by bit here. I do own Red, Blue, and Yellow. So the first ones we're talking about, I own all three. They're sitting in a glass case over there. And I have actually played them. One of my favorite Nintendo collectibles is called the Super Game Boy. And the Super Game Boy is a Super Nintendo cartridge, a game cartridge you can plug into your TV, and you can plug a Game Boy game into it. So you put you put it in the Super Game Boy, plug it into your Super Nintendo, put it in the TV. So I've played the original games on the TV for my kids to watch. And we've all been able to go through the experience together these days. So cool. It's crazy that you could play Pokemon on a full-screen TV back then, because that's an old device. That's not new. And we think playing on your Nintendo Switch on the TV is the first time it's happened. It didn't. It actually happened in Red and Blue and Yellow originally.
Yeah, that's something I didn't know. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It's a real collectible. The Super Game Boy itself, I think, is pretty pricey. I think it's like over $50, I think, for a Super Game Boy. Just that one cartridge, and then you have to buy a Super Nintendo, and plus the games themselves are like $100 a piece to get decent ones that are legit. That's another thing with these games. There's so many knockoffs out there made in China that you get ripped off and get fake versions. If you have to get a real version, you have to actually get a tool and unscrew it the back and look on the inside and check it. And there's lots of things you can check, the chips and everything in it, and you can replace the battery in it so it saves. All kinds of cool stuff. And if you get into collecting them, you'll kind of learn about, anyone who gets in kind of learns about that. And I have the tool to take them apart, so I know all mine are all authentic copies. So
right.
some of the best ones I've bought were from people who said their mother dug it out of their closet and they were selling it. Like, those are the ones that you...
Yes.
And it's okay if it has a few scratches on it. Then it was real.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, so Red and Blue. How do these rank? Are these your favorite games ever? Do you have any special memories about these?
I'm going to say they are probably going to be my favorite. Because on the amount of games I've played on this list isn't probably as much as I want them to be. Just because I'm a big fan of the original 150 Pokemon. I was even okay going up to the 250 in Silver and Gold and Crystal. So I kind of lost interest in playing the games in a sense, because there was just so much more to, like, Pokemon wise and stuff like that. And I do like how they make like certain Pokemon in each game, so you can trade. But back then, if you didn't have the cords to be able to trade, it made it very difficult to, complete the Pokedex. And that was one of my favorite things to do was completing the Pokedex.
Oh yeah.
But it was a very smart idea to be able to have both games sold and stuff like that. But you, ideally, it's not like it is today where you can use the same device to actually trade. Back then, you would have to have two different devices. Mm-hmm. You'd have both the games. So if you really wanted to complete a Pokedex and do it by yourself and not have to worry about trading with your friends, then you are, you know...
Yeah, it's a big
kind of SOL of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do like the aspect. But the original games, just the open world aspect of it and being able to catch Pokemon, I just find it fascinating. And so with that, and nowadays it's like, it happens all the time and it's like the graphics and everything is better. But nothing beats classics. That's just my opinion.
There's a couple things I like about the original is I actually do go back and beat the black and white version once a year. I do. Every year I go back and beat it. And I've been doing that for the past few years. You can play them on the Nintendo 3DS, which is the most comfortable way to play them because right. they're all digital downloads for $10 a piece on the 3DS.
Right.
And you can play them in black and white, all the bugs intact, nothing has been changed. And so I do go back and play them on that every year, or like I said, on the Super Game Boy, I go back and play there. I rotate, depending on if the kids want to watch. But dude, those games relax me. Something about it being black and white relaxes me. It's like a very peaceful experience. It's not visually overwhelming, you know?
Right.
But that could be, you know, my 33-year-old self talking. You know, maybe 20-year-olds or their teenagers are like, oh, that's crappy, man. It looks like garbage.
Right.
But I like it. You know, it speaks to me. It could be nostalgia talking, most likely is. But I find it peaceful and relaxing. I do love going back and playing those. I never played Yellow until I was an adult, but I did go back and beat Yellow in the last 5 years sometime. I don't remember when, but I went back and beat it. All my cartridges are all beat and played through. But Yellow was cool because Pikachu followed you around, so that was neat.
Yes.
Yeah. The original ones had the gambling in it where you could go to
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you could go gambling. They removed yep. that from the remakes, but that was cool.
Well, too, not only that, too, the Yellow was unique because, you know, typically it kind of follows the shows, and I don't know if you watched any of the Pokemon shows, but I remember I was big on watching the Pokemon shows before school.
Me too, yeah. Team Rocket's in Yellow.
But, exactly. It does relate more to, like, the show where you can get all the starter Pokemon as well, so Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and Charmander, and it just was a little bit more realistic in that sense, and I loved the aspect of Yellow a little bit more than I did with Blue and Red, because I love the starter Pokemons, obviously, and it's always hard to pick from one of your favorite Pokemons, and because they all turn into some awesome Pokemon.
Oh, so and I'm going to guess your original starter was Charizard then, right?
Of course. Charmander. Of course. Charmander, and then obviously getting it to Charizard.
All right, mine was Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
So mine's probably the least popular pick, but I was a big Bulbasaur fan, still am today. Love me, the little green grass dude.
Oh, yes.
Dude, those games are great, man. I loved it. You could go back and I never even caught Mewtwo until I was an adult, you know?
That was you had to do it back then. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those, you know, Mewtwo, because he was, you know, the coolest one, because he's the most powerful and all that. So he was big and popular, and to be able to catch him in the game, I remember always saving my Master Ball. Mm-hmm. And back then too, actually, you can actually clone your Pokemon.
Yes.
If you know how to do it. There was ways to do that, and you probably could still do it to this day, because obviously that's something that you can't patch because it's not electronic.
Definitely.
So it's kind of cool to be able to clone your Pokemon too. And then I know in, I believe, Silver, Gold, and Crystal, you can allow those Pokemon to hold an item for the first time. Yep. And you can clone your Master Ball. Yeah. I remember cloning my Master Ball, like, umpteen billion times when I got it, and then I can go catch anything I want. I can go catch all the legendaries and stuff like that.
That was two things. Well, I guess, you know, we'll rotate into those games now, Gold, Silver, and Crystal. Mm-hmm. The two things were items being held and egg hatching, right? Like, there was some eggs
in that game
that you could hatch for the first time.
Absolutely.
That was a really cool thing, yes. too. Oh, what was, like, if you had to pick a team of six from the first game?
Team of six for the first time. Let's see here. Definitely Charizard's in my lineup. I would probably have to say Gyarados is in my lineup. Because, you know, back then you have to account for all types. Mm-hmm. How can I forget? Alakazam.
Oh, you busted.
You cannot go wrong with Alakazam. Technically, I only needed about four Pokemon to be able to beat the Elite Four easily. So it's tough to come up with a six because there's so many
good filler. Like you can switch them out every place.
Well, what I used to do is to get my Pokemon level 100s is I would put two Pokemon. I'll have the four, and then I'll have two Pokemon that needed XP, and then the extra P all would allow you to give the XP to your whole team. So they would level up super quick. And they don't have to worry about fighting or anything. So that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say it was an electric type. I'm trying to think of the names. I used to know all the names off the top of my head without actually having to look at them.
Magnezone and Zapdos, if electric type wise.
I'm trying to remember which one was in. What was my favorite one that I used? I'm looking at that right now. Just briefly look.
Yeah. Go pull them up.
Let's see here. It might have been Pikachu and Raichu.
This is the only game I can do this with, like, give you like a top six. All the rest, like, they're a mix of original Pokemon and new Pokemon, and there's over 1,000 Pokemon, so it's kind of hard to do this with every game, but the original ones I can give you like that top six. Like I even know like the busted Pokemon, like which ones you would take to beat the game the easiest, you know. And I know that the Nidoran Nidoking line, right? That was
one. Oh yeah, yes, for sure.
Speedrunners use that.
Yes. I also forgot this one too. I used to use Pidgeot.
Oh, he's a good one. So you can get him in one of the early routes, right? And then he carries you through the whole game. He's a good Pokemon.
Yes. And then also, too, Machamp. I think that's a big one, too.
Love Machamp. So, good Pokemon. I love that in some of the later games, I don't remember which one, but you're moving to town in one of the later games, and you see Machamps carrying the boxes around your house, like as the moving company.
Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that was funny. All right, so for me, we got Bulbasaur / Venusaur. We got Gyarados, because he's my favorite. We'll throw in a Golem. Golem is one of my favorites. I'll explain why.
Mm-hmm.
After Golem, probably Alakazam, like you said. I like Starmie a lot. And then, let's see. Who else we got in there on those routes? I have Bellsprout. Huge Bellsprout fan. But I could never get him because I played Red originally. He's not in Red. So my brother had to trade him from Blue over. But I'd be a huge Bell player. I'd probably put him on my team. And then, let's see. I feel like I have a million Pokemon flying through my head as I'm trying to figure out that last one you put on. It usually, like you said, it usually changes every playthrough. I try to show you. But my standards, that Pikachu, I guess. We'll throw Pikachu in there because I love getting a rare Pikachu in the forest. When you, the first forest you go into, Viridian Forest, yes. Right? And it's like some very small, minuscule chance that you find a Pikachu, but I would just run through that bush repeatedly until I found a Pikachu and I would get one.
Yes. So, yes, I do remember those times. Boy, right. I wish we can go back.
I know, such good games. All right, let's jump to Gold and Silver. My experience was I actually beat HeartGold and SoulSilver, and so I didn't beat the original Gold and Silver, but it's pretty much the same game. So you play through the game, you start out, I don't remember the name of the town, but you do learn in this game also how Pokeballs are made from eggcorns or whatever, right? And you can get a special Pokeballs. You get an eggs, you said you can hold held items, you go to that first forest and there's the mythical Pokemon that shows up. Then you also have the three legendary dogs, and you learned about the tower that burnt down and killed the dogs and they came back. Good game, you know? Those are good games.
And absolutely.
At the end of the game, in HeartGold, SoulSilver, you go back to Kanto, the original game. So you can play through the whole game, and then you can actually take a boat back to Kanto and play through all the gyms of Red and Blue again.
Right.
So is that in the Gold and Silver too, or is that only in the remakes?
I think it's only in the remakes. yeah, because in Gold and Silver, once you beat it and some of that, it essentially reflects what Blue and Red and Yellow did, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to even remember too, because I don't think there was much difference for Crystal when that came out, because that came out technically for Game Boy Color, and if I'm not mistaken, I know for a fact that when you get the cartridge for like the Crystal, it shows for the Game Boy Color, so it has like the little bump or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so obviously the Gold and Silver had the little slit, because those were technically made for original Game Boy.
Yeah, I have those. They do have the slit, and I have Crystal, and Crystal has the bump. It doesn't have a slit, and it's see-through.
Right.
It's a see-through cartridge. It's
pretty cool. Yes, it's a see-through cartridge. Yes. So I do know that, but if I'm not mistaken, I think Crystal, there was not much difference for it. It was just kind of a made for
color, kind of polished
for
up.
The color. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure those are all essentially the same game, because not only that too, I think Crystal has, I'm trying to remember, it's been so long, I'm trying to look at the thing, it was Lugia and Ho-Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember who was on the front of Crystal.
Crystal was the water dog, actually.
Soykun. Okay.
Yep. Oddly enough, yeah, Soykun was on the front of Crystal, and it's a sparkly cartridge, a see-through bluish kind of sparkly cartridge. So my thing is here, and I'll tell you when I picked it back up later in the episode, but I stopped at Red and Blue, actually. And as an adult, I came back and played these. So going forward, you actually played Gold, Silver / Crystal when it came out back in 1999 and 2000.
Oh, yes.
Nice. That's cool, man. I wish I did. I wish I hadn't stopped playing. And I think Zeke and me, my brother and me, talk about why we stopped playing at that time period. And it was like, I'm not even going to get into it, but there's reasons why we stopped playing Pokemon specifically at that time period. But man, do I love Pokemon. My kids watch Pokemon these days. They're currently playing through all the latest games. My kids love Pokemon. I love Pokemon. Is there anything else you want to mention about Gold and Silver and Crystal before you move into Diamond and Pearl? Ruby and Sapphire next. Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah, Ruby and Sapphire. I would just say these Pokemon are probably some of my favorite Pokemons of all time is on this list.
Oh, really? Okay, point them out. Let's get some of these. Give me a couple.
Typhlosion, because I'm all about the fire. Every game that I play, I always start with a fire Pokemon.
Nice.
It's just me. But Typhlosion, he's definitely in the top five. So I would probably say Charizard's my number one. I would probably say Typhlosion's my number two.
I started Typhlosion when I played through the remix, I started Typhlosion. So, but I do jump around. I try to stay true green in grass type, but sometimes like the water Pokemon, it's just cooler, you know. So you gotta.
Oh yes.
Ship. I'm not very loyal.
Oh yes. I would definitely have Alakazam in my top five. He'll probably be at number three. But then other ones are coming from this list. And that is the next one. It's probably going to be Ampharos.
He's a good one.
And then the last one is Houndoom.
Also a good one. He wasn't one of my favorites, but he's a solid Pokemon. He works.
Yeah.
That's cool. Nice. All right. I played these ones as an adult coming back, and I was actually playing them during my playthrough to beat one of every game so that I could transfer them up through all of them. And so I used HeartGold and SoulSilver as like a transfer point to move Pokemon up. And I just, as an adult, I wanted to go back and play them all, and that seemed like the polished version to play. You know, like at the time, Crystal was the best version of of Gold, Silver, and Crystal. But when I played it, HeartGold and SoulSilver were the refined best version to play it. And so those are the ones I played. All right. So, hey, let's take a quick commercial break here. I've got to tuck my kids in bed, and I'll be right back, and we'll continue the rest of these games in the series. So be right back. Hey everybody, it's DJ, and I just wanted to take a quick second in the middle of this episode and tell you about my company. My company is Half Full Marketing. We specialize in website design, search engine optimization, and paid advertising management. If you'd like to learn more about our marketing services, please visit my website at halffullmarketing.site. I will also be dropping a link in the description of this episode. And with that, enjoy the rest of the episode. Welcome back. We are talking about Pokemon today. We're going through every mainline Pokemon game made and talking about our personal experiences with those. So we left off on Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire. All right. Now, I did not play the original ones. They were released in January 28th, 2004. I did play Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, though, the remakes. And so I'll talk about my experience with both of these combined, kind of. And then, Will, did you play the originals?
I only played them as... No, not the originals. Omega Ruby, you mentioned Omega Ruby and Sapphire. Mm-hmm. I played those as an adult.
Okay, same but thing.
But so I stopped playing, games. Yeah, I stopped playing, yeah, I stopped playing after Gold, the original Gold and Silver and Crystal. I stopped playing the games, but I would like to go back and play them all again just to see the experience.
Well, I think a good way to do this list is let's kind of talk about them as a combined piece then, since some of them you and me went back to play as adults. Let's talk about as a combined piece and then skip over the counterpart when we get there. So then Ruby, Sapphire, Omega Ruby, and Alpha Sapphire are all on the table right now. And I know that the remakes included Mega Evolution because they came out after Pokemon X and Y, which introduced Mega Evolution. So in right. Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, we were able to go around and play the original game and see Groudon and what's the other one? The water one, the big water whale.
I'm thinking. Groudon. So I stop knowing the names.
Sapphire.
Kyogre.
Yes, thank you, Kyogre. I mean, I'm a brain freeze, man.
Yes. Well, that's the thing, though. So, the Pokemon from after Silver and Gold, it's like there's I can name like you can just show me a picture and I may not know the names, but the original 250. 100%. I know the names. If you show me a picture, or if you tell me the name, and I can describe the picture for you.
Uh-huh.
Like I know those. Like they're the back of my hand. Yes. After that, it just got too much for me.
Yeah. But there we go. Kyogre and Groudon. Those are the two teams. The two legendaries. The water one and the fire one, right? And
mm-hmm.
The remakes introduce Mega Stones, which allows you to Mega Evolve your Pokemon, introducing Mega Charizard in both his versions, as well as they had special stones for Kyogre and Groudon to make special versions of them. I thought these were great games. The end game actually lets you fly around on the back of... Oh, I should have looked at a Pokemon list, bro. What's the... Latios and Latias? You could fly around a Latios.
Oh, yes.
And yes. Go around and oversee the island. Like, that was our first, like, open world look at the island. You could land at different places. You could also collect all the legendary Pokemon in those games by going, like, portals in the sky or whatever at the end of the game. Those were cool games. What do you have memory-wise?
Well, I do want to say that, if I'm not mistaken, Ruby and Sapphire were actually more third person, I believe, or what's the word if I'm saying it right, but it was more it wasn't 2D, it was more I think it was 3D was what it was.
Oh yeah, that's right, yeah, they did a graphical update
where they did a graphical update, and those games were actually the first 3D games versus just the 2D where you're looking down essentially on the person.
Yeah, and they had animations where like when you threw out your Pokemon he would wiggle or something.
Right Yeah. So that game I did when I played it as an adult, I was like, wow, this is actually really cool. I wish I would have been able to play this, you know, at a younger age to be able to see the transformation between the generations.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's definitely worth pointing out. That was a cool, definitely big graphical upgrades, animations included. These games added a lot to the Pokemon, you know, series as a whole. Yeah, that's cool. Yes. What was your starter in those?
Gotta go back to the third gen Pokemons. Hold on.
Probably the fire one, I'm gonna guess.
Most likely, like I said, normally it is, but I'm trying to remember who it is.
I did Superior. The grass type is a snake named Superior. That's who I did. And there was Oshawott was the water one. And then the fire one was he a pig? He was a pig, right?
I'm trying to remember. I think it might have been Jin started looking up. No, it was
I'm pulling up my list. I have all the starter Pokemon on a list. Let me pull them up quick. All right. So Gen 3 was...
It's just saying that it was Torchic.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the wrong series. You're right. It was Torchic, Turtwig, and the Fire Monkey.
Oh, God. No, that thing. I think that's 4th Gen. See, I think... Pokemon... Hold on.
Here you go. I'm sending you a list and... I'm sending
yeah, let me...
Here you go. I don't have their names, but I have a picture of all the starters. There you go. So
it goes... Third gen was Torchic. So, yeah, so the fourth... Was it Ruby?
Oh, so we're still in third gen. So it's Torchic, Treecko, and
Mudkip. Yeah, it should be... Yeah, and Mudkip.
I did Treecko, Mudkip. Okay, I did Mudkip in this generation, the water starter.
Yes. Torchic. Definitely okay. Torchic.
Okay. All right. It's cool. All right. Which version did you play? Did you get Groudon or Kyogre?
I played with Groudon. I got Groudon.
Nice. I played Kyogre. Nice. It seemed to be like we got both ends of the spectrum here. All right. I'm ready to move on to the next series here, the next one in line. You got anything more to say about Gold, Silver, and, I'm sorry, Ruby and Sapphire before we move on?
No.
All right. It's worth noting that on January 28th, 2004, Fire Red and Leaf Green came out. Those are just more polished, less buggy remakes of the originals. They were also in full color. And it's cool that Leaf Green is mentioned there because the original one in Japan was green version. So it's cool that they did Fire Red and Leaf Green there. After that, let's see, Emerald came out, which was the definitive version of Ruby and Sapphire, which you don't have to spend much time on. Diamond and Pearl. Now, these games do hold a special place in my heart. Diamond and Pearl, I was just talking about Superior because I accidentally jumped ship. But Superior and Oshawott and the little fire pig that I don't remember the name. But those are the starters in that one. Who'd you go with in these Gen 5 games?
You said it was 4th Gen, right? This is 4th Gen?
Oh, did I skip? Oh, my God. Or... I'm all over the place tonight. Sorry, guys. You're right. I jumped straight to 5th Gen. I skipped over 4th gen. Never mind. So we have, okay. Let's see, 4th gen starters. Only because I don't know the monkey's name.
Yeah, I don't know the monkey's name either, but I did start with the monkey because his evolution's actually pretty sick.
4th gen starters. Empoleon is the water one. That's fine. Why won't it give me here? I'm looking for him. Chimchar,
yes. Chimchar.
Yep, there we go. Okay. I went with Superior. Turtwig. Turtwig, the little grass guy that kind of looks like Bulbasaur. And honestly, yep. He evolves kind of like Bulbasaur.
Yep.
These games are like awesome, that. Dude. I mean, I personally liked these. I'll give my little story on it. My little spiel is when I came back as an adult, I looked at all the Pokemon games that were available, which at the time was Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire had just came out. This is when I came back. So let's just look at Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire came out in 2014. So I had taken a break from 1996 or 1997 all the way to 2014 with Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. But at the time, I didn't know. I was just looking at a DS. I was like, which ones do I start with? And you could play Diamond and Pearl. So that's where I started. I did Diamond and Pearl because they looked cool to me. I chose the Turtwig guy, and those were my first games coming back to the series. So it does hold a special place in my heart. As the ones I've returned to Pokemon on. And that's what, at that point, I went through and played every single Pokemon game, at least one of their versions or remakes. And I've played through them all at this point. So I've had the chance to choose a starter and play through the game. Turtwig was a no-brainer for me because he's basically Bulbasaur, and I'm a pretty big Bulbasaur fan. So it kind of works. I like that you wander out to the lake in the beginning, right? And then he has you pick a Pokemon when you get jumped by a bunch of things, I think, is how the game starts.
It's interesting.
He shows you, like, you find his briefcase and you have to pick a Pokeball out of it. And then you're like, you pick your starter and then you use them to fight. And that's how you get your Pokemon in this one. Instead of the professor giving you one, you get to choose and steal one of his Pokemon to use for a second, which was kind of interesting.
Right.
Do you have any fond memories of these or the remakes?
This one actually, I believe, is actually the one, because I don't actually remember ever playing these games, even the remakes. If I'm not mistaken, I think most of the other remakes I have played a version of, but I don't remember this in particular.
Okay. So they did have remakes of Diamond and Pearl called Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl that came out on the Nintendo Switch in 2021. And you can go back, and if you're going to go back and play it on Switch, it's better. It's basically the same game, though, just a couple quality of life improvements, and they made everybody look like chibi art instead of the original artwork. But it's cool. It's cute. It's definitely the better way to play it. So if you want to go back and play these games, the Gen 4, go play Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl on the Nintendo Switch. They're a good story. There's some awesome lore in it. You can go to, like, the library and go read the lore in the game. You can go to, like, this library and, like, read about all the legendary Pokemon and Dialga and Palkia and all that, and learn all that cool stuff. And then the end game is cool. I think there's a lighthouse you go to, and then you find the third mythical Pokemon or third legendary, whatever. I don't think we have terribly much to say about these other than that they just kind of, again, hold a soft spot for me because that's the ones I returned on. And I did go back and beat them on Switch again, so I've played both the original and the remake on this one.
That's awesome.
So let's jump to... Actually, my kids are about to start this. He just came in, and I have an unopened copy of Shining Pearl, because I played Brilliant Diamond, and then I left Shining Pearl unopened. And my kid came and was like, "Dad, I really want Palkia. I want to play him on my Switch." And I'm like, "Okay." And he's going to open it. He's going to rip it open. And he's going to take the packaging off, and he's going to play this game. So, in a few days, I will have had an unopened version, but it's going to be open now, so. Oh, man.
Makes sense.
Kids, what can you do?
Yeah, right?
All right, so Diamond and Pearl. Platinum was the definitive version. Heart Gold and Soul Silver came out after that in 2009, which we talked about. Black and White. Mm-hmm. All right, this is one of the ones definitely worth mentioning. Black and White and Black and White 2. We'll talk about all these at the same time. This was cool because this is the only time ever that they've made a direct sequel. So Black and White and Black and White 2 were like exactly continued the story, basically, which was kind of cool. You did play in the gyms. It went from like left to right in like a clockwise fashion around the map. Mm-hmm. And the starters in this one were... What's the name of the pig? I can't remember the name of the pig. Superior Oshawott and... Fire Pig. Do you remember his name?
I do not. I do not.
Fire Pig starter. Tepig. His name is Tepig. Is that who you started with, or did you not play these ones?
Yeah, these ones I didn't play. I wasn't familiar with these.
Okay. So I started with Superior. Superior is one of my favorite all-time Pokemons. Love that little guy. He's a little like grass snake, and he evolves into a big grass snake. Very original. And my favorite thing about him is actually competitive battling, where I've used him in tournaments. And if you know anything about competitive battling, he has Leaf Storm, which does a tremendous amount of damage, but it lowers your special attack every time you use it by two stages. Mm-hmm. Now, his hidden ability, because we forgot to talk about when abilities came into Pokemon, but his hidden ability is Contrary. So it does the reverse of what it would, you know, anything would normally affect you. So what happens is he uses Leaf Storm and he gets two stages of special attack boosted instead of negative. So you actually get, instead of getting a negative for using a super awesome ability, you get a positive and it makes him stronger. So he's +2 special attack and use it again and he's +4 special attack. And use it again and he's +6 special attack. And at that point, he's just one-shotting everything no matter what. Resistances don't even matter at this point because he's doing the same amount of damage. So you put a Choice Scarf on the guy, and Choice Scarf doubles his speed. So now he's got double speed. He can only use one ability. He uses Lift Storm, and he keeps buffing himself every time he uses it. So he's like a sweeper. You drop him on the field and just nuke the entire enemy team. You could literally one-shot every Pokemon on their team with just this guy. But you have you have to put him out at the right time, because if they have something that's super effective against him, you know, they might take a hit and kill him before you get steamrolling and snowballing and going, right?
Right.
So you got to choose the right time to use him, but if you do, he's a very deadly weapon, and I love him in both competitive play and in the original playthrough of the game. He's a good Pokemon. Oh, I wanted to talk about Golem. It's a great time to drop Golem in. Because Gen 4, I know we're in Gen 5 now, but in Gen 4, you could get a Golem that could learn Sucker Punch. It's the only time to get him. So in order to have a Sucker Punch Golem in the current gens, you have to move him up from Gen 4, and he learns Sucker Punch. Why that's important is because I'm a nerd, and I like to use him in competitive play, even though he's not that good. So I would use Golem and put a weakness policy on him, so when he gets hit by a super effective move, it doubles his attack. Now, he is also as sturdy as his ability, so he survives a hit with 1 HP. So you send him out first, and you can then either Earthquake or Stealth Rock to start the game, the battle. Mm-hmm. And they hit you, and your weakness policy goes off, and you have 2x attack. You're usually slower. So at this time, if you Earthquake, you hit Earthquake for double damage, which is just awesome. Or if you Stealth Rocked and they hit you, you got double damage. Now your next move, you use Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch has priority if they use an attack move, so you go first, regardless of your speed. So it allows you to, it's the only way you can use this. It's kind of niche, but you could then Sucker Punch and then also kill someone else. So sometimes you get lucky, you get 2-for-1, you know, on a Pokemon battle.
Right.
So he was part of my strategy. I actually participated in a YouTube tournament where I got to use him and show him off with Sucker Punch. Nobody saw it coming. They actually... What are they? They voiced over the whole tournament. They spectated it, voiced it over, and recorded it. And they were like, oh my gosh, you know? And it was just cool to kind of show Golem in competitive play, because he's not usually a competitive Pokemon. Superior was also on my team for that tournament with the Contrary buff. So I'm a very aggressive player. I like those kind of aggressive play styles when I'm playing. All right. Let's move into... After Black and White 2, those were just good games. They were actually a soft reset for the series as well, where you couldn't catch any of the original Pokemon at all. None. None of them were available until the post-game. So they forced you to play with new Pokemon only through the entire game. So Black and White 2, that's an interesting fact. After that, Pokemon X and Y came out, which introduced Mega Evolutions. Did you ever play X and Y?
No, not X and Y either.
Okay, X and Y, I don't think that those are like the first games I would say to jump back and go play. They were all right. And I'm sorry if those are your favorite games, anybody out there. I thought they were all right. You know, I did play through them. I played Froakie, who turns into Greninja, and Greninja is an awesome water-type Pokemon. He's also very competitive, viable. Those games were kind of weird. You know, you played through them. They were good, though. Every Pokemon game's good. Even a bad Pokemon game is a good game. So... Pokemon X and Y were fine. They were solid. They did introduce Megas, which gave us Megas. And then we played after that. Let's play through Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire we mentioned, but that's how we got Megas in those games. And let's go ahead and jump forward to Pokemon Sun and Moon, which were still on the Nintendo 3DS. They came out in 2016. Did you get to play those?
Sun and Moon. I did not play the original Sun and Moons.
Okay, so we have a short gap here. So your gap here from playtime, help me out here, was you played... You said you didn't play Diamond and Pearl? Well,
technically, I did... I did not play any of Diamond and Pearl, even as an adult. I played Ruby's... Omega Ruby as an adult. So I kind of went back to the... to that gen. So I'm familiar with like Groudon and the starters and stuff like that. But from that point on, I haven't really played it until I got, until I played Scarlet. Okay, or not Scarlet, Violet.
Okay, so you missed Diamond Pearl, you missed Black and White, and then you missed X and Y and Sun and Moon. So Sun and Moon were good games. I remember waiting for the launch to come out of those games and playing those games. I did go with Rowlet, the grass starter, who's a little owl. And he turns into an archer owl with a bow and arrow. He's pretty cool. those were good games. They were very open world for the first time. You know, they were, you could kind of run around. I guess they're all kind of open world, but this one felt more open world. It just felt very 3D, very open world. The graphics were upgraded yet again. There was like cooking. You had to do like a challenge before doing a gym, like gym challenges and stuff. I guess all the games kind of had that going back, but this one really took it to the next level with like cooking stuff and little mini games in order to unlock the gym battle. And Sun and Moon were also Hawaiian island themed. And so you went around to the different islands and getting Z crystals that gave you a Z power. So instead of Mega Evolutions, it was Z powers. And a Z power, a Z crystal, you can use one time per battle. So you put a crystal on your Pokemon, he gets like a mega move that he can use once. It's not really my favorite gimmick as far as the gimmicks go. I liked Mega Evolutions a lot better. Hey, do you have a favorite Mega Pokemon?
With the Mega Evolutions, I'll have to go back and see.
Charizard had two Mega Evolutions. Gyarados.
To be honest, I was very disappointed though in the Mega Evolutions of Charizard.
Really?
I was expecting it to be a little bit cooler because some of the other Mega Evolutions were just top of the line. I'm trying to remember. I haven't talked about Mega Evolutions in so long.
I know.
I'm looking at them right now.
Mega Beedrill was kind of cool. They took Mega Beedrill with Mega Evolutions in whole. They took some old Pokemon that were not competitive, and they made them competitive. So Mega Beedrill is an example of that, where you could never really play Beedrill competitive, but his Mega Evolution allowed him to become competitive.
Right.
And there was other Pokemon like Charizard and Gyarados who have always been competitive. It just gave them two options. You could make a attack Charizard or a special attack Charizard, and he became switch typing between their Flying Dragon or Fire Dragon, right?
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah. But I would probably have to say with the I'm looking at some of the pictures, but I know they're not, these are not all of them. But I will probably say one of my favorite ones when they first came out with the Mega Evolutions would probably be Alakazam still.
Oh, he's sweet. He's a good Mega Evolution.
Yeah.
Sure. He got so fast, man. He got even stronger. That was a good Pokemon.
Oh, yes.
I played with him competitively, actually, for a while, so he's a good Pokemon.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed with the... I mean, I liked how they did two different Charizards, but on the same note, though, I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I want something a little more out of it. You know, that was their opportunity. Mm-hmm. All right, so Sun and Moon, though. So we'll jump back to Sun and Moon. That was an awesome story. Really good story, Pokemon-wise. You start out the game, and you save a girl on a bridge who's being attacked by Pokemon, and then you find out that girl is the daughter of the super wealthy person on the island who owns this facility and all that, and they're trying to bring Pokemon from another dimension over, from like, you know, another world or whatever. And it's a story about kind of like child abuse. It's kind of darker, you know, and the mother is like kind of mistreats her children, and then she ends up getting like lost in the netherworld and becoming one with one of these Pokemon that takes over her body. It's kind of weird and creepy, but honestly the story was good, and Pokemon Sun and Moon told the story correctly. The remakes of those, which were the definitive versions of Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon that came out 1 year later, really botched up the story. They were definitely kind of sort of better versions of the game, I want to say, but I honestly know. If you're going to play it, go back and play the original Sun and Moon, because the storyline was cleaner and more intact than that. So those were good games. They were solid. It was a beautiful world. I do remember playing it at launch and playing through it and listening to podcasts as I played through it. It was a good experience. So, Pokemon Sword and Shield in 2019. This is a big jump for us. This is all the way to Nintendo Switch. So now we're on the Switch. For the last two technically, because we already talked about Diamond and Pearl that were released on Switch. So Pokemon Sword and Shield were right before Scarlet and Violet. Did you get to play these two?
Yes, I did get to play these two. And this is kind of where I kind of started coming back into the game. Now, when did you say this one was released again?
2019.
Okay. I will say this. I do remember, because I wonder if I'm not mistaken, Pokemon Go came out in 2016.
Yes, when they came out with Pokemon,
the hype was real. When 2016, when they actually came out with Pokemon Go, kind of got my spark back, if you say. So Pokemon Go kind of has a special place in my heart because it got me kind of back into Pokemon, which made me start playing the games after 2016 and kind of going back and playing them. Mm-hmm. But cool thing with Pokemon Go, obviously, is you're actually like trying to throw balls and stuff like that. So I really love the concept of that. But that's when I actually started going back to play. You said it was the
Sword and Shield.
Yeah, Sword and Shield. And so I did play a little bit of Sword and Shield. I actually, my wife's kids actually had those games, so I played through it. I never got to finish the game, unfortunately, because, long story short, ended up not having a device to play it on. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't get to finish it, so I would like to be able to go back and actually finish that game.
They were good. So
I did enjoy it a lot.
There are a couple things those ones added. One, being on Nintendo Switch for the first time. Again, we saw another graphical upgrade. Two, their gimmick was Gigantamax, which was like Godzilla-style Pokemon. So mm-hmm. your Pokemon gets super huge and stomps around. And the music was so good for that game. You could also wear like a sports jersey and put your number on it at the beginning of the game, and it would follow you through the whole game.
Right.
There's just some cool stuff. And the other thing was there was an actually open world area for the first time in the middle of the map where you could go and connect to the internet and see your friends in the middle of the map for the whole game, and you cross through it several times.
Right.
I think it was called the Wild Area, I believe, or something like that. So that was huge leaps forward for Pokemon series as a whole. Sword and Shield was adding new things we've never seen before, gave us that taste of multiplayer in raid battles where you could do raid battles for the first time. I loved that game. I think I beat both versions of that game, actually, and I have not beaten both versions of most of these. Usually I beat one version and I call it, unless I'm going back to play the originals, you know, but I think I actually went through and beat both versions of this game. Sword and Shield, pretty good. But yeah, let's jump. Let's keep moving forward, though. Let's get to, because I want to also talk about a couple honorable mentions here, like Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu and stuff and that kind of stuff, but let's get to Scarlet and Violet quick, released in 2022, just about 2 years ago. These revolutionized Pokemon, completely open world, and you can play with your friends the whole way through the game. You can literally link up your systems after the first little area that you learn about and choose your starter Pokemon, and you can play alongside your friends through the entirety of the game, as well as raid battles were reinvented. So much good about these games. How much have you gotten to play Scarlet and Violet?
Well, I actually played Scarlet. I had a friend who actually had... I had Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, and he had Scarlet, and so we essentially just traded nice. Just to play the games, and then because he didn't have the old ones, which resembles the first yellow, red, and blue, just on Switch, where it's kind of they're incorporating the Pokemon Go theory of throwing a Pokeball. But when I got to play Scarlet, I just couldn't put it down. I actually ended up playing this game and beat this game in 3 days.
Oh my gosh!
That's actually how addicting I was of this game, because it was made so well, and just being able to see everything, it was just awesome. I actually ended up beating this game in 3 days, and I am not ashamed to say that.
I think Scarlet and Violet are going to go down in history as one of the greats for Pokemon. They definitely. I feel like they brought people back. They definitely reinvented themselves, being that open world kind of Breath of the Wild kind of feel for the first time, where they really, really took off the training wheels and the fake on rails experience. You could do the gyms in any yeah. order. You could catch, you could battle yes. the giant Pokemon, you know, whatever they're called, in any order. There was, you know, you're still supposed to do it in a specific order, but you didn't have to. You could yes. do whatever you wanted.
Yes.
That was cool.
And another thing is they also brought in something that you haven't seen in any other games, was the different team leaders. You had four different seats. So essentially you had other side quests and stuff like that. That was just really fascinating. It wasn't just Team Rocket. Now, granted, Team Rocket holds a soft place in my heart, because Team Rocket was the original villains. Mm-hmm. But now you had other villains, different villains to be able to conquer. And if I'm not mistaken, because it's been a while since I've actually played it now, but you had different villains who they essentially went on the good side, and you know, and you got to link up with them. Their after story, they included them as well, and I just thought that was really put together. The storyline was amazing. I mean, it's so big too, because you can still, there's still a lot of afterthought of it, as well. But to have the futuristic Pokemon and then the past Pokemon was just, they couldn't have done it any better, in my opinion.
These Pokemon games, they actually, so some of the Pokemon games, not all of them, but some of them do tell like a moral lesson, right? In Black and White, the moral of Black and White and Black and White 2 was using Pokemon as tools. And the so-called villains of that game, and the character, your rival, felt it was wrong to use them. And he felt it was like it's abuse. So it was actually a story about abuse in Pokemon and animals and things like that was the moral lesson there. Then Sun and Moon was more about children and parents. And then Sword and Shield, I don't really know if there was a moral lesson there. I did play through it twice, but I don't remember. But Scarlet and Violet was about bullying. So in Scarlet and Violet, the kids left the school because you go to this school to learn about
Pokemon. Oh, yeah, right. That's right. And yes, that's right.
The evil team members that aren't really evil were bullied and left and made their own team. And as you beat them, you kind of convince them to come back to the school. And then you find out in the end, spoilers, hit the skip 15-second button, everybody, if you don't want to hear the ending. This is your last warning. All right. So the spoilers are that the leader of that team is actually still attending the school. And so you kind of see that too. And she has a team of all Eevees or whatever, and you beat that.
I do remember that.
They were funny. They looked good. And yeah, they were a little buggy at moments, but who cares? And what Pokemon game hasn't been buggy since the original ones, you know?
Right, of course.
The original ones were filled with bugs. That's part of the experience at this point. So.
Right.
My kids have beaten Scarlet and Violet. And I think those are the only ones they've beaten on the Pokemon list because they're young. I have young kids. But they are now starting to go back and wanting to play some of these older games to use Pokemon Bank to move their Pokemon forward.
Yes. All right.
Go ahead. I was interrupting you.
Like I said, it's gotten me in the mood to go back and just to play the older games and stuff. And
they are
now that I have a PC, I'm able to.
I don't know if you ever heard about Nuzlocks, but those are a great way to experience the games too. First, you can obviously download ROMs and play them on a computer or your phone, or you can play the original games and go back and buy them. Or when people do play the games, no matter how they play them, sometimes they Nuzlock the experience, which means there's certain Nuzlocke rules out there that are self-inflicted. One being if your Pokemon faints, he's dead forever. So you have to play the whole game without your Pokemon's fainting, or you have to find a new Pokemon. That's a harder rule. There's also Nuzlocke rules that exist where you can't be higher level than the gym you're fighting. So you have to fight the gym when you hit that level. You cannot pass the level, or you have to box the Pokemon so they don't gain XP until you're ready to fight the gym and bring all your Pokemon out. So there's versions that people play, like they go back and play these old games to make them harder. They'll self-inflict these Nuzlocke rules on themselves. And that's cool. I've actually tried it a few times on a couple different versions. I've never played through a full one because I Nuzlocked Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu actually with a friend, and I think we died halfway through. So
right.
Like if your whole team wipes, you're like, crap, I'm done. You know, like you have no Pokemon, you have to start from scratch halfway through the game. It's pretty hard, especially if you're later in the game for some of these.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Alright, did you ever play Legends of Arceus?
No, I have not.
Legends of Arceus did take the catching experience to the next level. It was very open world like Breath of the Wild. You could actually dodge Pokemon and hide in bushes and throw Pokeballs from the bushes and catch them immediately. And you, while you were battling, you could walk around the battle while your Pokemon were fighting.
That's actually pretty amazing, because Scarlet and Violet are, where you can like hide and you can kind of sneak up on the Pokemon and you can actually see the Pokemon, where you're not just walking in the grass and then they just spawn on you. But that seems like they just up that with the Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, no, they did. Legends of Arceus was like, it's a spin-off game. It's not a main series, right? Because there's no competitive battling. There's no multiplayer in it. It's a spin-off game. But you can take Pokemon and move them Pokemon home. So it's worth playing if you want to experience it. It's a really fun game, especially for streaming. The point of Legends Arceus, though, is to catch Pokemon. So you get missions to catch 25 of the same Pokemon. And you progress the game doing that and filling out your Pokedex more than actually battling. So there's like no trainer battles in the whole game. It's a little different. But you do actually battle when you battle boss fights or battle wild Pokemon, things like that.
Right.
I never beat it because I got bored of it, mainly because I usually only play main series Pokemon games, and I had my nose stuck in the air. I was like, this is not a main series game. You know, I will not play this. But let's go Pikachu and let's go Eevee. Let's talk about those for a second, because I know we both played those. Those are literally direct remakes of Red, Blue, and Yellow, right? They're kind of like remakes and sequels. So they're like the same game, but at the same time, you can actually meet Red and Blue in those games. And you can meet your rival, the Smellulator guy.
Right.
You meet him in that game too. And he says that a long time ago, right, or whatever, he did this same thing in Philopogus. So technically, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee is technically a sequel to Red and Blue. But it's also kind of sort of the exact same game, a way to experience it. So if you're looking for a modern way to experience those games, I would definitely recommend Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. It's a very fun time, and you get to pick out one of those two as your starters. What did you enjoy about those games, or what did you like, or what didn't you like?
I'll say what I like, because I was actually quite disappointed with some different aspects of it. But the one thing I did like, though, was the ability to throw your own Pokemon now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, kind of going ripping. Taking into account
Pokemon Go,
where you can spin it and do all that stuff. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought that you can actually bring in a second player on the game for first time ever as well. Even though
co-op for the first time.
Technically co-op. And the only downfall is that other person can't. If you try to wander off, they'll just bring it back. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, there's only so much you can do in that aspect of that kind of game.
Yeah.
But I really did enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
The downfall I hated was that you can only catch the Pokemon and you couldn't battle them to get XP or anything. You get XP and stuff like that, but the point of Pokemon, in my opinion, is to battle. Regardless,
and they did keep the trainer battles in place, and they kept the gym battles in place. They just removed the wild battles, right? And they put all the Pokemon in the overworld for the first time, where they were actually running around in the overworld, just like Legends Arceus. Actually, Legends Arceus did it too, and then Scarlet and Violet was the first main series game to do this. But Let's Go Pikachu did it, then Legends Arceus did it, and then Scarlet and Violet did it, where they actually had the Pokemon out in the overworld walking around. So yeah, that was definitely a cool thing. I have really good memories of playing these games, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, with my brother again, who got to experience, because he never beat the originals. He did play them as a kid, but he was a couple years younger than me. So this was his turn to actually beat those original stories. And we played them, and at the end, we battled each other with our teams that we played through. Good memories, good times. So you got anything else to say on these?
For the most part, I mean, like I said, I'm looking forward to really going back and playing all these other games, because, you know, it's going to always be around. There's no giving rid of Pokemon. I see so many TikTok videos of even people collecting Pokemon cards and opening new cards and all of that. So it's just one of those things that it's going to grow from generation to generation, and I really enjoy it.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy that my kids these days are playing the latest gen Pokemon, and they watch the cartoon Pokemon, you know? They still watch that now, the latest episode's coming out, and they've watched through the original series as well, because you can catch it all on Netflix for the most part. If you can't catch it on Netflix, you can catch it on either YouTube or the official Pokemon app. The official Pokemon app is free. I think it's called Pokemon TV. You can download it in anything, and it's free, and it has a lot of the anime on it. Just, there's no subscription or anything. But you can also get it on Netflix and YouTube, and you can find a lot of the episodes. So, I guess that's a wrap for our episode. So if you guys would like to find Will, you can find him at bigdubgaming.com. He has a Discord server and community where they do Twitch streaming. You can find me at halffullreviews.com and the Discord server there. And until next time, may the Force be with you guys. Oh, I was going to let you say something too, but Will.
Oh, my bad. Farewell, yeah. Yeah, you can crop that all out.
Okay, I'll end it on mine. Sounds good.
Yeah, well, you ended up,
I'll
have to think of something.
You have to think of something for the next episode.
Well, I'll have to think of something next time.
All right, yeah, we'll do that.